Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Well, good afternoon. This is Middays with Susie Larson on Faith Radio, and I am Erin Ekstrand. I have the privilege of filling in for Susie this week as she and her husband, Kevin, are really taking some time to seek the Lord together and intentionally for what God has for them in this coming season, coming year of ministry. And I would ask prayer warriors, please be praying for them in this time. And I also know, you know, Susie has had a busy summer. She's been pressing hard to finish a book, and I believe she just finished it, but that was a big endeavor. And so would you join me in praying for them, too, that this week would just really be a time of refreshment for them? I know that they would welcome that and appreciate that. But in the meantime, we're going to continue having some powerful conversations. And I'm so excited for the conversation that we are going to have today. Have you ever walked into a situation and felt like all of a sudden you're that little girl or that little boy that was on the outside of the circle? You don't have a place. You don't belong. You don't know where you can get in. And even as adult, something will take you right back to that place, that need for belonging. Well, that's what we're going to talk today with our guest, Kristen Strong. She is the author of the book today that we're going to talk about, Back Roads to Belonging, Unexpected Paths to Finding Your Place and Your People. And she's also the author of a book called Girl Meets Change. She writes as a friend, offering meaningful encouragement for each season of your life so you can see it with more hope and less worry. She and her U.S. Air Force veteran husband, David, have three children, and together this military family zigzagged across the country and one ocean several times before settling in Colorado Springs. You can understand she's had that feeling of being the new girl and not having that community. You can find her at kristenstrong.com, and that's K-R-I-S-T-E-N Strong, Day Springs in Courage, and on Instagram at Kristen Strong. Kristen, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Erin. I'm so grateful to be here.
Oh, well, I'm just so excited for our conversation today. And as Susie always does, I want to start our program with scripture. And I'm wondering if there is a life verse that you have or just a passage that God's been impressing on your heart lately.
Well, I immediately kind of think of my life verse, and it's probably a common one for some folks, but it's Zephaniah 3:17, and in the ESV translation, it's, "The Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." And as somebody who has struggled throughout her life sometimes to feel like, you know, maybe God's more mad at me than happy with me sometimes. This has just become a heart transformer for me.
Oh, I remember the first time I heard a message on that verse too. I was in college, and that sense that God delights in us, he rejoices over us with singing. Oh, that image and having that go the 18 inches between our head and our heart often takes a while. But
yes, ma'am.
That is beautiful. Well, that's why Susie asked that question. That was great. Thank you so much. Well, you refer to that just a little bit as you shared your verse, but can you share a little bit more about what led you to write this book, Back Roads to Belonging?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. Well, I would say, having been a military wife for 19 years, and facing change over and over again, it became a pattern. I noticed that, you know, something that is a result of change is it removes your sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. And so even though my husband retired, he works as a civilian now, and we live in Colorado Springs, Colorado, which was our last duty station, but he retired about 4 years ago from the military. Mm-hmm. And so today I just over the weekend, we launched my twin sons to their freshman year of college.
Oh my goodness, Mama. Wow.
I know. So it's a real awareness of, and then seeing that coming up, their senior year of high school and all of that, there's a real awareness that sometimes change does look, or sometimes losing your sense of belonging happens in a very practical way of losing your address. And so you move and then you start over. But sometimes you lose your sense of belonging when you have a different kind of transition, a different, you know, this was a very good thing to happen. Like, they're supposed to to, you know, launch from home eventually, you know, I mean, that's, I should say that's, you know, often kind of, you know, you want to prepare them to be able to be functioning adults, but it's still very hard too. So sometimes losing your sense of belonging happens because of a good, but a difficult life transition.
Sure.
And so, yeah, so I would say those two twin things just have kind of really got me thinking about belonging and just lots of conversations with friends in real life, friends online, you know, that it's just something that we all seem to struggle with. And I think we struggle with it more and more with social media having more and more of a presence in our lives.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to touch on that as well. Just so that we can maybe have a shared meaning before we even enter the conversation. We're talking about belonging, you know, talked about a little bit, but let's define some terms. What do you mean by belonging?
I mean feeling and knowing that you have a place and a people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean a contentment where God has you today, because God doesn't just place us in random places. I mean, you know, we're not just like blown out of a straw and wherever we land, that's where we are. I mean, Acts 17 talks about how God determines the time set for us and the exact places where we will live, the exact places we will move. So belonging, when I think and talk and write about belonging, it's that both contentment with where you are today, but also if you're looking to deepen your place and your people, because you don't feel like you feel like you need it expanded. What does that look like? How can we do that in our lives?
And as you said, there's so many things that can disrupt that sense of belonging, and even good changes in our lives can do that. So I think that's going to resonate with so many people. All right, one more term to define before we jump in, and that's backroads. Your title is Backroads to Belonging. So what would you mean when you say backroads?
Well, you bet. Well, I grew up in the Osage County, Oklahoma, off of a gravel back road, and so it's just something that I've always loved are gravel roads, back roads. And what I mean is, I think when we struggle with our sense of belonging, we tend to do one of two things. Either we want to jump on that super highway of connection and do whatever it takes to get noticed by the people we think we're supposed to belong with. Or we might go the opposite direction when that doesn't work out and we feel rejected or get our feelings hurt. We go the opposite direction and just hide out in our homes. Just like forget it. This is too much work. I'm just going to be by myself in my house. So I just had a real clear picture one day the Lord gave me of like, how about we explore some middle areas?
Yes.
The back, you know, like why are we so extreme, Kristen?
Yes.
So let's look at the backward way to belonging, where you are seen less.
Mm-hmm. Oops. Oop, just a second. We want to make sure we didn't lose Kristen here. All right, we're going to work to get her back. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Kristen Strong. We do have a couple copies of these books. We'd love to get you in the drawing for that. Email middays@myfaithradio.com or text 877-933-2484. Please put belonging in the subject line and be sure to include your name and mailing address. I'm Erin Extran. We'll be right back with Kristen Strong in just a minute. From Big Daddy Weave there, I belong to God, and we are talking about belonging, back roads to belonging today with Kristen Strong. I'm Erin Extran filling in for Susie Larson here on Middays. And Kristen, we lost you there for a second, but I think you're back, right?
There she is.
Good. Well, and both my producer, Kim, and I said, shoot, she was really talking about something good there. You were describing those back roads and what you mean by that. And I don't know if you had the chance to finish that thought. If you want to finish that, then we'll jump into something else.
Sure. So I think I did, but
okay.
I think I was talking to myself.
Oh, okay, I know.
So I will. All I was saying was that I believe the back roads to belonging is like a good middle of the road option where we were, you know, where we reject the exhausting superhighways of connection, but also reject giving up altogether.
Yes.
And the back road is where you are seen less. Mm-hmm. But you really sense your belonging more as you remain in Christ and relax into the places that God has you today, with the people God has around you today, and in the role He's asked you to fill today, you know, whatever that looks like in your life.
All right. That's so good. I'm glad we took the time for you to just reiterate that, because that is so clear.
Sure.
All right. Let's dig into this. Social media, girl. It gives this impression that it gives us so much of a sense of connection and belonging, but in fact, it can actually sabotage that, can it?
I think so. I think it gives a shallow sense of belonging. Like it kind of just, you know, gives you like a little band-aid over, you know, that need to kind of have your people. It kind of gives you a little taste of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in the olden days, you know, we would be like when I was in school in the 1900s, you know, it was, you know, we went to school, you know, we went to work, but then when you went home, none of those people came with you. Mm-hmm. Like it was just you and your family, your neighbors, what have you. Well, now because of social media, all the people from all our circles follow us right into our living spaces.
Yes.
And it really contributes to that overall exhaustion that takes time and energy away from those with whom we already belong.
Mm-hmm.
I also, you know, it can make us overlook the places where we really do belong.
Yeah.
And, you know, in an effort to kind of build a counterfeit sense of belonging, we look in all these other places where we're just not wired to belong everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and while I love social media, I mean, I love Instagram. I think it can be a real blessing in our lives as well, but it can't be a substitute for real face-to-face conversation and time with others.
I like what you say in the book. You say posting and sharing to give to others is one thing, but posting and sharing in order to get it is a dead end road we don't need to explore. Even if all the quote unquote right people like and comment, it will only give us a counterfeit sense of belonging at that last but a breath.
Yes, I believe that's true. If you're just looking to meet every belonging need online, it might meet your need for just a second or two, but it's not going to be something that long term really fills your heart and soul.
Mm-hmm. And you made a decision, and you were very careful not to say that this is everyone's route in terms of social media, but you made a decision in terms of your social media usage just to help you keep it on that back road and not take a larger place in your life than it should.
Yes, I took Facebook and Twitter off my phone.
Mm.
And so, you know, and I still need, like, I like Facebook. That's how I keep up with what's going on with a lot of my family, because I don't have any family where I live. They're all, they all live out of state. So I like Facebook, and I like, you know, part of my job, I use Facebook, but I just plug into it on my laptop. I don't worry about it on my phone. And it just feels like it's less of that slow drain on my time and energy. Because you might think like, okay, I'm just looking here and there, but it's still every time you give your time and attention to something, it does take something from you, even if it's small, but it adds up over time. At least for me, that's what I found. Like it was just taking too much. So I took it off my phone. Now I have Instagram on my phone, you know, for the time being. Mm-hmm. Maybe later I'll change my mind on that, but for whatever reason, that one doesn't bother me, or like I don't feel as glued to it as I did Facebook and then Twitter.
All
yeah.
Right. Well, thanks for sharing about that. And again, you did say this isn't for everybody, but for me, this is a decision that God led me to do, and that's been healthy for you. That's been beneficial.
Yeah, it's been healthy for me.
Okay.
Exactly. Like, well, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to us each individually.
He
so
does.
You know, whatever is right for you is, you know, excellent. But that was what was right for me.
Yeah, I know there for me in my season of life, you know, there have been times, you know, for Lent, I've decided to get off of social media. And it's been a really good thing for me, because I've noticed that tendency to seek that counterfeit sense of belonging. And how many likes do I have? How many people looked at my post? How many people commented? And there is something, just a freedom there of being able to step away and then come back again with that better posture and healthier position of saying, all right, I'm posting to give and not to get here.
And to
taking
be a
those
blessing
breaks.
To others.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just need to take a break to do that or limit our access the way you have. So thank you.
If I could add real quick, Erin, I would say too, like, I think it's perfectly fine to add, like, I've put out prayer requests on social media before, mm-hmm. and clearly then I'm looking to, I really would love to receive some spiritual encouragement for whatever is the prayer request. Mm-hmm. But I'm not legalistic at all. But in general, I have to tell myself, I'm leaving a comment, I'm leaving a post because I want to bless someone's day, mm-hmm. not look to see, not strictly to look and see what I get in return.
Sure. So. No, thank you for that clarification. That's really good.
Sure.
Well, you say there's other things that can sabotage our fear of belonging as well. And there are two thieves that rob us, one being pride and the other fear. Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, sure thing. Well, I think, pride tells us we deserve to belong more mm-hmm. than anyone else. Mm-hmm. And fear tells us we don't get to belong where we want to belong. And I believe that ultimately belonging is not a state of our circumstances, but a state of our soul.
Yeah.
And so, keeping in mind of God's faithfulness, He wants us to belong. Yes, we certainly belong. Our heart's true home is in Christ. We belong as Christ's beloved. We belong as God's daughters.
Mm-hmm.
But God also wants us to belong in our environment. I mean, Jesus walked the earth with people. He didn't just do it by Him. He wasn't just around Himself all the time. He was often, yes, He would go off to pray and things like that, but he often ministered and whatnot through people and with other people. So I think that if we remember that belonging is, really a state of our soul,
mm-hmm.
and not just our circumstances. And so really just like, okay, am I wanting to belong here because I'm fearful that if I don't belong here, it means I won't belong anywhere, or I'm getting mad because they should welcome me in and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that is boo on them,
mm-hmm.
So sort of just kind of keeping, your frame of reference healthy of like, okay, am I just being fearful or am I being prideful?
Yeah.
And what can I do to combat those?
Yeah. As I read that chapter and thought about my own experience, I honestly could relate to the pride element quite a bit. I grew up receiving those messages that unfortunately we all receive growing up living in this fallen world that you don't belong, you're not worthy. And for me, internalizing those, I was a firstborn perfectionist, performer, achiever, and so I said, oh yes, I do, and I'm going to show you why I belong, right? Why I'm worthy of love. And consciously or unconsciously, that became for me a way of approaching lives, approaching relationships, approaching opportunities. But when you come in with that pride, you're not able, as we talk about with social media, you're coming into it more with a need to get something as opposed to give. You're comparing. You're not able to receive the gift that God has in those relationships and those experiences.
Yes, and I'm like you, again, a firstborn high mm-hmm. achiever in my family. And I think where this really came to play in my life was when we were moving around a lot as a military family. And I would think like, okay, this much time has passed, 6 months or whatever, I really should feel like I belong now, like I'm doing all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I belong? What is wrong with you people?
Yeah, yeah, it's wrong with you. I'm good here.
It's not me, it's you. So, and yeah, that's, obviously a dangerous place to go because, mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why and things just take time. And so really learning to wait on the Lord and,
mm-hmm.
Let my plans have a back seat instead of rushing ahead with what I thought things should be, taking the back road to belonging is also just patiently and expectantly waiting to see what God is going to, what He has in store for me, because He does want me to belong.
Mm-hmm.
So just hang on and see what that's going to look like.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes that isn't always a straight path, is it? You talk about that sometimes wandering is necessary in that process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think, God's ways are rarely a straight path.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think the He cares more about the journey with us. He cares more about our our heart and character formation on the journey. And so the path is going to wander, just, you know, as an opportunity for us to stick close to him, to have a deeper relationship with him. But he's not a cruel God who is just looking to bait and switch or to, you know, leave us standing by ourselves in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. That's never going to happen. But if you're, you know, if your path is winding to your sense of belonging, towards your place of belonging, towards your place and your people, that just means you're on the right path because it's supposed to wind.
Yeah. Yeah, I do appreciate, too, when you're talking about those seasons of wandering, you give room and give permission for lament, because those places, that times of those times of wandering aren't easy, are they?
No, they're not. And it makes you question, like, okay, did I hear correct, Lord? Mm-hmm. I thought I was supposed to do this. I did everything that I really felt you directing me to do. And yet, I'm just no better off than I was when I started. Mm-hmm. And there is a passage, there's a story in the Bible that talks about, I believe it's in Acts 16, where Paul and Silas and Timothy, like the Lord directed them to preach the word to a certain particular region. Like they had very clear instructions. This is where they were to go. Mm-hmm. But however, as they traveled and went where the Lord asked them to go, doors closed just left and right. And they were like, okay, what is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then that night, they had a dream, or I believe Paul had a dream that,
Macedonian, I believe, right? Is it Macedonian?
Yes, the Macedonian. Mm-hmm. Yes, he stood on the shore and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. And the dream gave Paul this clear map. Okay, this is where we're supposed to go. And I think that the thing that I find encouraging from that passage of scripture is, Paul was convinced of his mission and knew what he had to do, but his path just needed refining.
Mm-hmm.
And often the wandering, winding roads are God's way of refining the path for us. And so it's easy for me. I'll think, oh, a door's closed. That's the end. Well, this is just, this is going nowhere. Well, no, sometimes a door closed is just a direction change.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just keep that perspective in mind, keep at it, mm-hmm. and you'll eventually get to where the Lord has, to the places the Lord has for you.
Yeah, I love what you say. Back road routes are often wandered as we journey toward the place God has for us. We shouldn't always assume
yes.
A closed door means we're not hearing the Lord correctly. Sometimes a door shut is only a direction changed or a path refined.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I think someone needed to hear that today, because it's so often we're thinking, Lord, I thought I heard you right here. And then you get those obstacles and think, oh, goodness, did I hear you wrong? And that can be a really faith-shaking experience. So remember, friend, sometimes it just means that it's going to be refined a little bit. Well, we're talking mm-hmm. with Kristen Strong today. She is the author of Back Roads to Belonging. We'll have more with her in just a minute. We do have a couple copies of this book that we are giving away and would love to get you in that drawing. You can be a part of that by emailing middays@myfaithradio.com or texting 877-933-2484. Put belonging in the subject and then include your name and your mailing address so we know where to send that book. I'm Erin Ekstrand filling in for Susie Larson, and we will be right back. Talking about belonging in those times in our life where we feel like we don't have that sense of belonging. I'm Erin Ekstrand filling in for Susie Larson today on Middays, and we have the privilege of talking with Kristen Strong. She is the author of Back Roads to Belonging, Unexpected Paths to Finding Your Place and Your People. Kristen, you shared that one of the back roads to finding that sense of belonging is extending kindness to yourself. And you tell a really cute story that I think a lot of us are going to relate to about trying to order dinner at Cheesecake Factory with some girlfriends. Can you share that with us?
Oh, sure. Well, gosh, this was probably about 10 years ago now, mm-hmm. but I was at the Cheesecake Factory, and we're all sitting and scanning the menu, and I'm looking. I think a lot of the stuff sounds fantastic that they have on their
menu. They have the hugest menu ever, I think.
They do, and the hugest portions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, gosh, you eat the leftovers for 3 days afterwards.
Totally.
But I was hungry, so, like, you know, it was all looking especially good. But when it came time to place my order, and a couple of friends had gone before me, and it had been real, like, they're like, I'll have the tacos, I'll have the hamburger, all, you know, it was like very cut and dry. Well, it came to me, and I just was hesitated with indecision, and I looked at the waiter, and I apologized for taking for so long to order, and then I finally say, okay, I'll have the Chinese chicken salad, and then I'm like, wait, no, I'm going to have the fish tacos after all, and then I apologize for being so difficult, and the waiter, like, just looks at my friend and says, does she always apologize this much? And they, and this is never something we talked about, but they, as if in chorus, were like, yes. So, anyway, but then what do I do? I, like, apologize for over-apologizing. So, it was like I could not get off this treadmill. But, you know, it's just a sneaky way that shows up. Over-apologizing, mm-hmm. I think. Is a sneaky thing that shows up as unkindness to yourself. Yeah. I mean, that being endlessly hard on yourself, questioning everything you say or do, and over-apologizing, I think it's a sneaky way that the enemy tries to tell you one way or another, you don't have a right to belong yeah. in this world as yourself, yourself.
Yeah, I love what you said. Instead of viewing ourselves through the lens of apology, what if we viewed ourselves through the lens of Jesus instead? Mm-hmm. What if we took off our wonky, smudgy glasses and stopped living life with a posture of I'm sorry? We're allowed to have our own thoughts, feelings, and opinions. If we trip over words, mm-hmm. don't say what we should or do something we shouldn't, it's okay. We can allow grace to do its work. I'm sorry should be saved for situations that warrant repentance. It should be used in circumstances where we need forgiveness. It shouldn't be used because we believe we're intrinsically sorry or no good. I thought mm-hmm. that just yeah. so good. I just thought, oh, that someone needed to hear that today, too. There is just some truth there mm-hmm. where, like you said, that enemy wants to tell us we need to be sorry for existing. And that is so contrary to the truth of what God says about us.
Yes, and he wants to tell us we're dingbats or mm-hmm. dead weight, and mm-hmm. shame on us for changing our mind on an order. Well, mm-hmm. that's ridiculous. It is okay mm-hmm. to change your mind. You have the right to change your mind on an order, and it doesn't require apology.
Yes, amen and amen, yes. But that leads to another road to belonging that you talk about. You know, we have that enemy who is spewing those lies at us all the time, and it points out the importance of being in God's word. And can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Well, I tell you, I just feel that being in God's word is imperative for mm-hmm. staying on your back road to belonging, because the enemy, he will do all that he can to throw you into the ditch, or mm-hmm. to at least get you to swerve into the ditch. And the being in God's word is the way that you stay on your back road to belonging. And it's the way you affirm your belonging in its realistic way. I mean, because, you know, we belong to God first and foremost. We belong to ourselves, and that we can celebrate how God made us. We belong to our priority people, that would be the people we live with, or our close family, close friends, and then we belong to our community. Well, how you stay connected to the God part of that component is you have to be in his word. That's where he meets with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not legalistic about how that happens if you have a traditional quiet time or something else, but I do believe, you know, just as if you're going to have an enriching relationship with anybody, you must spend time with that person. Mm-hmm. And so the Bible is how we spend time with the Lord, and it never returns void. So, you know, when you do spend time with him regularly, he encourages and lifts your heart. And it's always like, oh gosh, on the days where I have missed it or haven't, you know, seasons that are just hard where I haven't been in it maybe as daily as I want to be. It's like when I am, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm an idiot. I should be doing this every day. 'Cause it's so much. I guess it's mean to call myself an idiot, but you know, it's just like this.
Yes.
Is, why do I think it's worth that it's okay to skip?
Yes. Yeah. I love what you say. The word is living and through it, God speaks and gives life to us, but we need to turn down the static invading our exterior and interior life so we can make a space to hear what God wants to say. And that is what you're talking about. And it can look differently for each of us. I mean, I know there's some listening that are young moms going, I'm thankful if I can get 5 minutes alone in the bathroom, you know. But however we find that way to dig into God's word, it is living and active. And we so need to be connected to God through his word to tell that enemy to back off, right?
To tell the enemy to back off. And I understand that. I had twin sons and then a younger daughter. So I was I had a long, long season where it was like, okay, I mean, it may literally be like I'm in the bathroom and that's when I'm reading, when I'm sitting, the 2 minutes that you're sitting down, because when you're a mother of young children, you're not sitting much, but, in the evening after they went to bed or what have you. I'm not legalistic about it or anything. I just, having some sort of, an app on your phone or some sort of way to get daily scriptural encouragement. It only helps. There's nothing negative. And there's nothing negative that's going to come from that.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you talk about in these times of not belonging to, we face the need to at times grow down. Can you talk about that and explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. I had read a while back in a magazine about how roots in the winter, we know that the above ground plants, the trees that we see, they do not grow, at least if you live in a cold environment like I do. They do not grow. But but tree roots underground, they maintain a readiness to grow independent of the above ground parts of a tree. So they actually grow, they can grow down during winter. They do remain mostly inactive, but they can function and grow. So like that is something that they can do. And many do whenever soil temperatures are favorable. So but they do that even if the above ground temperatures are brutally cold. So it just struck me that sometimes, when we're in a season of struggling with our sense of belonging and not belonging, not feeling like we really belong like we want to do, sometimes I think the Lord may be encouraging us in a growing down season. And that is, okay, I'm going to grow down where I do belong. So what's some intentional time I can invest in the people and places where I already belong? And maybe I'm discounting that. Like I mentioned earlier, I think there are some belonging places that I'm already a part of, but because I'm so busy looking elsewhere, I'm not really investing where God has me now. So that growing down is, really like looking at, okay, where do I belong right now? Like, where is the chair I'm sitting? Who are the people in my house, in my neighborhood? Like, where can I really be where I am fully participating that maybe I'm not doing right now.
And as I read that chapter too, and thinking of my own experience, a big part of that season was living through all of my 20s and much of my 30s as a single adult. I share this just because I think there are some who can relate to this, but there's that season where, especially in my middle 30s, living by myself in an apartment, working, but always having that desire to have that sense of belonging in the context of a marriage and having a family, and that wasn't God's plan. So what do I do? And I there's that temptation as a single person. It can be very lonely in this world today to be single. It can be very lonely in the church to be single. And there's that temptation that I know you talk about as well, Kristen, of trying to take matters into our own hands and maybe not take the back road, but take a different road to get that belonging. But as I look back and see what God did in the back roads he gave me of investing in my friendships, investing in my job, and most importantly, taking time alone with him and learning that how to enjoy his presence and how to know experientially that he is more than enough, that that back road for me was fruit and were roots that were growing that I've now been able to take into a season where he has brought marriage into my life. So I share that not to make it about me, but just for someone maybe listening today in that place of singleness and that's a sense of unbelonging for you to know that, that there is fruit and there is such beauty and purpose in growing down that you're talking about.
Yes, I believe so too. Mm-hmm. I found that in my own life. Like I'm not even like there was a season where I just don't even think I was counting my family as my priority belonging place, or you know, as like okay, in this season, this is more than enough. This is a gift, and so I don't need to keep looking elsewhere. You know, and I always feel like there's a caveat to what I'm saying, you know, or like an exception. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, there's a time where you do need to have a larger community or a larger, you know, girlfriends and whatnot, or people who have your back. I call them your wing women or your wing men. But like if that's just not happening right now, what can I do to better belong? Fully just participate with and enjoy where I am today.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you gave some really good steps, a really neat exercise that you did. You had gone on a family vacation and had unplugged from social media, had a really great time, and then came home. And as you were getting back into the swing of things, said, okay, let's log into Instagram. And boom, all of a sudden there's photos of girlfriends getting together that hadn't thought to include you. And then that message, you don't belong, comes right back. And as it does for all of us, you know, I love what you did that. Can you share us the steps that you took when you faced that sense of unbelonging?
Sure. Yeah. Cause that's just not fun when you see, oh, look who all getting together without me and clearly having a great time. And as they should. I mean, they, you know, that is absolutely their prerogative. Mm-hmm. But I don't belong feelings were just like, they just slammed right into me. So what I felt like the Lord asked me to do was to just make a note of everywhere I do belong today. And so I did that. I brought out, I just opened, I think it was just the app on my phone is what I did it on, and just the notes app. And I just wrote down, I mean, God's daughter, Jesus's beloved, and then wife to David, mama to James, Ethan, and Faith, daughter, sister, aunt, niece, and cousin of the O'Neill and Meeks families, daughter-in-law, and then all the way down to, you know, member of my church, member of Cornerstone Community, Black Forest resident in Colorado Springs, military wife and encourager. You know, I even put like Barnes & Noble, frequent patron of Barnes & Noble, and, you know, just, you know, I just got real specific. And when I looked at that list, I'm like, and then I put, you know, friend to Amay and Allie, and so, you know, and a few more other girls' names. But it was like, okay, that's an extensive list right there. Yes. That is a beautiful belonging place right there. And so here I'm feeling like I don't belong. And it was just a way to be like, for the Lord to redirect my attention from those toxic thoughts to truth, you know, like, no, look at all the places you belong, you know, and it just made me instantly grateful.
Yes. I just thought that was so good. I have good exercise written in the book next to that, because I just think how powerful that can be for us when the enemy again saying, you don't belong, you don't belong. And to put it in writing, whether it be on your phone so you can revisit it and add to it, or you write in a journal or something, but to say no. Look these belonging places that God has already given me. Well, we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment, go to a break. But when we come back, I want to talk about a little bit, why is it important to know where we don't belong? We'll continue that conversation with Kristen Strong when we come back. I'm Erin Ekstrand, filling in for Susie Larson on Middays. Jason Gray, I belong to you. And we are talking about belonging today with Kristen Strong. She's the author of Backroads to Belonging, Unexpected Paths to Finding Your Place and Your People. I'm Erin Ekstrand, filling in for Susie Larson. And we do have a couple copies of this book that we'll be giving away and would love to get you in the drawing for that. So just a reminder, you can do that either by texting 877-933- 2484 or sending an email to middays@myfaithradio.com. Please put belonging in the subject line and be sure to include your name and your mailing address so we know to where to send that book to. Well, Kristen, one of the things you talk about in the book is it's also important not only to go on those back roads to belonging, but also to know where we don't belong. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that was a really key point that you made.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there, well, we just can't belong. We can't be in some kind of relationship with every single person mm-hmm. we pass every mm-hmm. single day, you know. And I think being comfortable with where we don't belong releases us from spending time and energy on trying to belong in places and with people outside of God's plans mm-hmm. for us. And, you know, I think there are just simply some places not meant for us. Yeah. And I see that in two different ways. I see it in one way, you know, if we're with somebody, and I know I always feel like I have to be so careful because I know there's exceptions to the rules here. But in general, if we're with somebody who's offering us more sabotage than support in a particular area, mm-hmm. it is okay to put a boundary up and say that person does not get access to my heart. One of the things I talk about in the book is how our heart, I believe the heart is similar to the Old Testament tabernacle, where, you know, you have part the outer courtyard, which are, you know, was for many at the entrance. And then you have the inner holy place, which the, you know, priests could go to and whatnot. But then you have the inner holy of holies, which is only for the high priest. And mm-hmm. so to make that parallel is like, okay, our heart has the outer courtyard where a lot of people, you know, probably get, you know, at least a little bit of,
access,
a little bit of access, right? And then you have that inner holy place where just those safe people who, you know, treat you with care and concern, who are mm-hmm. for you, that doesn't mean they never rebuke you or, mm-hmm. you know, kind of hold you accountable on things because we all need to be held accountable.
Yes.
But their motive makes a difference. Their motive is they are for you. Whatever they do is for you, not mm-hmm. just, you know, for other selfish reasons. But then you have that inner holy of holies, which is just for you and God alone. And it's okay to keep some things where you, you know, just have those vertical conversations. And so I think, you know, being okay with where we don't belong mm-hmm. looks like not putting yourself in the presence of folks regularly who do, you know, want that inner access to your heart, but they're not careful with it. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side is being okay when other people don't allow you and me
yes.
access to that inner holy place as well. Because, you know, sometimes rejection is God's protection against what's not in our best interest.
That's a good word. It's a good reminder. And I think sometimes, you know, in Christian circles, I think sometimes we feel the pressure that we have to be everybody's best friend, you know, and also as a recovering people pleaser myself too, you know, it's that need
yeah.
to feel like you have to be kind to everyone. You have to let everybody in, probably a tendency maybe to overshare sometimes and to
yeah.
just have that permission to say, I think you pointed this out in the book as well, that Jesus had 12 and he had 3 that he really led it on the inner circle, right?
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
Jesus had boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if the Son of God had boundaries, then, you know, maybe that's something I ought to be able to be okay with as well.
Yeah, that's a good word there. Well, I love one of the things that you talked about is we're seeking to find our own sense of belonging, that one of the things that helps to enhance that and solidify that for us is actually to reach out and become a belonging maker for others. And you tell a beautiful story to illustrate that about your neighbor, Mary. Would you mind sharing with that? Because I just thought that was so powerful.
Oh, sure. Yes. So this was back when I had littles running all over the place. My husband was busy a lot. So just his work was very demanding during that mm-hmm. season. So one particular time we had moved to a new neighborhood. And I was out kind of doing some weeding in the garden area. And then I just heard a big commotion out front. And my my twin sons, who were at the time like brand new 5-year-olds, they had just turned 5, I remember, they were just staring wide-eyed at our elderly neighbor, Mary, and who we began to call Miss Mary. So Miss Mary was just giving them a tongue lashing. Well, basically, the boys had been, it was fall, the boys had been playing in the leaves, and they just kept crouching more and more to Miss Mary's property, and she had raked up a bunch of leaves, and they'd scattered them, and she was mad, as my daddy would say, mad as a wet hornet. Like, she was mad, and she was just letting them have it. And so, you know, I go over there and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I direct the boys to get the rakes out of our garage so they could go, you know, get her piles back in order, tell her I'm so sorry. Well, she just huffs and goes into her house. And, you know, I remember at that moment being like, okay, we're going to steer clear of this lady because she is not having us. But I felt the Lord say, like, no, you're not. You're going to try again with her. And I was so scared because I'm sure the Lord had told me to do that with other neighbors we'd had before that were cranky, but I just I just was like, no. But this time, for whatever reason, I listened. And, you know, and so what we had baked some sort of treat. We went over to her house and dropped it off. You know, she welcomed us in for a little bit, and, you know, we sat and talked. And anyway, come to think, so like for the next year, I don't remember how long, a year and a half maybe, we ended up, like, we would just do things. Like, the kids would paint little terracotta pots, and we'd bring over a little potted plant. And, like, just slowly her exterior started cracking, you know, and and she warmed up to us. Now, we never, like, we would invite her over for meals and stuff. She always said no. We'd say, let us mow your lawn. She'd say no. She didn't really ever let us do much for her, but we did what we could. Anyway, fast forward in that 18-month time in between, we had been in Oklahoma for to visit family for Christmas, came back, got a message on the machine from Miss Mary, and it said, Kristen, I just wanted to let you know I've had my health has taken a big turn for the worse, and I just wanted to let you know I love you, I love David, and I love the kids. And she had, and then, so that message was, I think, 2 days old, and she had died the day before. And I just bawled thinking, I just felt like we had done hardly anything for her except feed her sweet tooth and, you know, give her a little bit of conversation here and there. But clearly, you know, we helped her see that she belonged in some way where she felt valued. And in turn, she did the same for us. Like, she was a key component into us feeling like we were a part of the neighborhood. But, but you know, it was just, but it was, boy, was it hard at the beginning to, you know, to forget that initial encounter and to you know, kind of be the hands and feet of Jesus anyway.
Yeah, I love how here you were new to the neighborhood. You were facing your own feelings of not belonging, yet God nudged you and you were willing to take that risk to try to create a sense of belonging for someone else. And in doing that, he enhanced your own sense of belonging too. And I think that's such a great reminder for us, especially in this day and age where there's so much negativity, so much crankiness out there. And to have the courage to take those steps, and when we're not feeling as if we belong, to be willing, as God leads, to extend that kindness, to extend that invitation, and to see how God will use that not only to bless others, but to help us find that place of belonging ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we've just got just less than 2 minutes here left, Kristen, but I'm just thinking, would you be willing to take a minute just to pray for those who are in that place today and maybe feeling like I'm feeling like I don't belong. I've just experienced a major change. Maybe like you, they've just dropped off their youngest at college and say, what's next? Would you take a moment to pray?
Oh, I'd love to.
Thank you,
Erin. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this for Erin, for this program, and for us to just really talk about how we belong, to really affirm our belonging in you as your daughters and sons, and as Christ's beloved, Lord. I know what it feels like. You and I have walked a long way where I have felt like I haven't belonged over and over, from hosting parties where nobody came, or just having moving in a place and having to start it over to moving in other life transitions where I'm where the season is looks different than it did before. Lord, I just ask that you're with every single man and woman within listening distance of this program, Lord, and just help them, give them some peace, some direction on where you would have them go next as they look to not only be content where they are, but also to expand their sense of belonging, Lord. And may they know that above all else, that we always belong with you and that we are your chosen people, Lord, and that you love us unabashedly. And I just ask all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Kristen, thank you so much. Her book is Backroads to Belonging, Unexpected Paths to Finding Your Place in People. It's Kristen Strong. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to this Middays with Suzy Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Suzy Larson.